When President Obama stepped into the East Room of the White House earlier today, dozens of camera shutters snapped like tap dancers in a show. Most of those cameras belonged to reporters, but not all of them. Some were in the hands of White House photographers. Almost no one has as much access to the president every day in public and behind the scenes. The White House photographer's job is to document the presidency through pictures, and their images help us understand the person behind the podium. So today we get to speak with two people who were given such close personal access to presidents. Robert McNeely is a former White House photographer for President Bill Clinton. His books include The Clinton Years, the photographs of Robert McNeely, and also Barack Obama, the official inaugural book. He joins me now in Studio 3A. Welcome to you.
Thank you, Ari. Nice
and
to be here.
Also, we have Eric Draper on the line. He's a former White House photographer for President George W. Bush and author of the forthcoming book, Front Row Seat, A Photographic Portrait of the Presidency of George W. Bush. He joins us by smartphone from his phone in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Thanks for being with us, Eric.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Robert, let's begin with you. How were you picked for the job?
Well, it's one of those processes where just be there. You just have to be involved in the process of photographing the presidency, be involved in political campaigns. I volunteered in 1972 for the George McGovern campaign, and as I moved forward through my photographic career, people I'd met at that time, I built on that. I was a photographer in the Carter White House. I photographed Fritz Mondale in the Carter White House. People I met through that were working in the Bill Clinton campaign and spoke to me early on about photographing Bill Clinton's campaign, and I demurred at that time and suggested they find a younger person to do it. And later, right after the convention in 1992, having watched the convention and realizing what an incredible political candidate and person Bill Clinton was, I expressed to my wife, you know, I probably should have taken that job of being his campaign photographer. And the next day the phone rang and said the other person wasn't working out. I had like an hour.
Wow.
An hour to decide if I wanted to go.
Eric, does that sound like your story of how you ended up being George W. Bush's photographer?
Well, sort of similar in the fact that I had been in political circles covering politics as a press photographer. I was a staff photographer with the Associated Press covering presidential campaigns. I covered the campaign in 96, and then when 2000 rolls around, I was assigned to cover the Bush campaign. And so I was a member of the press, you know, traveling with everyone else. And at the end of it all, I decided to take a chance at doing the job. And I knew it would be a tremendous experience. And so what I did was I asked for the job.
Sorry, we're having just a couple phone glitches, but go on. Please continue.
Oh, sorry. I actually pursued the position by asking President-elect Bush at the time for the job. I actually walked up to him, and I was prepared with my portfolio, and I knew I had a good chance because I had was able to get to know him and the staff when I was a press photographer, and I walked up to him and asked him for the job, and I was picked a week later.
That sounds pretty brazen. Talk to us, given your background in journalism, tell us about what the difference is between being a White House photographer and being a photojournalist who covers the White House. Obviously, as a White House photographer, you get a lot more access, but what's the difference in the job description? How are you photographing the same guy in a different way?
Well, first of all, you're part of the staff, which means you work for the president. You serve the president. And what that means is I had an all-access pass to schedule. So I was able to see the schedule ahead of time. I was able to be present for all the meetings and basically just shadowed the president throughout his day. And it's all about access, and that's what you have when you're a White House photographer.
Robert McNeely, talk about how the technology of being White House photographer changed in just the amount of time that you were in the White House over those many years. It must be just a huge, huge sea change.
Well, it's extraordinary. I mean, when I first time I ever went to the White House in 1974, as a press photographer for Time magazine, there were photographers in the press room that had used 4x5 speed graphics.
Well, explain what that is for non-camera junkies.
That's a large camera that shoots sheets of film that you load one sheet at a time.
I imagine a guy with his head under the curtain, you
know.
Pretty much,
except you look on a piece of glass. You don't have the hood, but it's a very large camera. It was used to take the picture at Iwo Jima.
Wow.
The picture of the flag raising at Iwo Jima was taken with a speed graphic. But then the small camera came in with roll film. And then, of course, I was still shooting the same technology that was, you know, from the 40s and the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s. Of course, then in the 90s, when digital began, that was the big sea change because of the speed and because of just the whole different approach. But I'm a film photographer. The book I did was all done with rangefinder Leica cameras, which is a camera that was basically designed and built in the 1920s and unchanged.
Now, when you say you're a film photographer, you still don't use digital photography?
I have digital cameras, but I also have a dark room in my basement.
Wow.
And the book I did in 2009 on Obama's inaugural, there's some black and white film pictures in there, which are only in there because I was the director of photography, and I could say, we're still going to shoot a little bit of film. I love the effect of film. It's pretty much gone in the media just because of the speed factor. I mean, you cannot justify having an image.
A dark room.
Well, you can't justify having an image that needs to be out to the world. And if it was digital, it could be uploaded that second
and seen
by everyone in the world. Well, I just have to go home and develop this film.
Yeah.
And then I have to proof it, and then I have to print it. You know, that's not going to happen.
So I want to talk about the behind-the-scenes access that you each got. And if you'd begin, Robert, tell me about some of the most incredible moments when you thought, am I really watching this? Whether it was comedic and unexpected in a human moment or just witnessing history.
Well, it's both at the same time. I mean, the watching history, there isn't a day, I think Eric would agree, that you don't drive through those gates as the White House photographer. Having been a journalist and having gone through the press room, as you know very well, you go into the press room, you're in that little room, you wait for them to come to you. Well, as a White House photographer, you drive through the gate, you walk in with that pass, you have total access. You can go anywhere you want in the building, short of running into the president somewhere. You know,
so you've got a long list of incredible images and moments in your head and in your portfolio. What stands out at the top of the list?
Well, I mean, a lot of them are just, it's constant. It's one of those things that, if you do your job right, the total mass of what you've done is the historical view of that person. There's not one single image. I mean, as a news photographer, you're remembered for that Pulitzer Prize-winning image. A White House photographer, in my mind, is remembered for the body of work. What you've accomplished over a period of time gives people an insight into who that person is because you are seeing them behind the scenes.
At the White House Flickr website where Pete Souza just released the year in photos, there's one image that stands out in my mind where Secretary of State Hillary Clinton was in the Oval Office with President Obama, had apparently just dropped all of her briefing papers, and Pete photographed Secretary Clinton pointing at him, the photographer, as if to say, don't you take a picture of me having just dropped all my papers on the floor. Eric Draper, what image stands out in your mind from your years in the Bush White House?
Well, I kind of agree with Bob. Single image, it's the volume. And that's what I remember the most in terms of working there. I mean, it's like drinking through a fire hose every day. And you try to prepare for everything. You photograph good things, you photograph bad things. In my case, I mean, nothing could prepare me for a day like 9/11 in September 2001. And that day particularly stands out in my mind. And the entire week of history still stands out in my mind. It's a part of that body of work.
Yeah. There are a few phone glitches, but we're hearing what you're saying. Robert, talk about the pressures of documenting this for history. Does the White House expect you only to shoot the president from his good side, never to get him when he's having a bad hair day? I mean, you know, to what extent are you supposed to make the guy look good?
Exactly. I mean, that's the crux of doing that job. You do have an obligation. You are hired by the White House, by this person who you've gotten to know, and yet at the same time, the view of history is over your shoulder at all times as well. And there's the sense of this is a record of this presidency. This is a record that it's not going to affect, except occasionally it does, as they keep saying Pete Souza's pictures are like Obama's secret weapon because they're putting them out.
The hugging kids.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All of this.
Holding hands with the First Lady.
Right, affecting politics today. And that does happen occasionally. I mean, I had a couple of images that got released immediately and did have an effect. But I always felt that my greater responsibility, with all due respect to the presidency, and I respect Bill Clinton's politics. I'm a progressive Democrat. I was there because I was part of, you know, I felt connected to that process. But at the same time, the human side of Bill Clinton, and there's obviously an understanding there of a very complex human being, which I felt over time some responsibility to leave as a record. And maybe it won't be really understood till a historian goes and spends months in Little Rock in the presidential library.
And so were there moments that, for example, you know, during the impeachment scandal, when you thought, boy, he's looking haggard, that's something I need to capture?
Right. Well, I actually left in August of 98. Mm. As the impeachment scandal started, I'd been there 6 years. The restrictions on the job, there was the sense that nothing was – I was literally had total access to every meeting until – it started to be restrictions on meetings with independent counsel related events. Uh-huh. And then there was the sense of the impeachment. And there was just a sense in my mind that I had fulfilled what I wanted to do. As it went forward, I couldn't do it.
But just generally, were there times he was not looking good?
Oh,
and
absolutely.
You thought, you know, if I were a portrait photographer, I wouldn't shoot him today. But as a guy documenting the presidency, here's what I'm going to do.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. And the trauma and the day-to-day. I mean, one of the things that I learned about Bill Clinton is he's an extraordinarily optimistic. Hmm. Bill Clinton didn't get up any morning that he didn't feel, you know, that this was a day he was going to work as hard as he could to do what he thought was right, which was inspiring. But at the same time, there were times when events and things that happened were not exactly didn't turn out the way he wanted them to, or weren't the exact things. And in our instance, the domestic terrorist event of Oklahoma City was an extraordinarily terrible event, which I photographed, and we went, you know, his reaction to it. And then it wasn't the same kind of involvement of 9/11 for the presidency, but there was that sense of history being made and what was going on.
We're talking about documenting the White House with former White House photographers, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. We have Robert McNeely, former photographer for the Clinton White House, here in the studio with us. And on the line, we have Eric Draper, who was the photographer for President George W. Bush. And Eric, I'm curious, photographing the same guy day after day, year after year, does that ever get old? Does that ever get boring? Do you ever think, God, I wish I could photograph someone else today?
Well, I have to admit, I mean, there were some days that were slow. There's a lot of repetitiveness in the photography. But at the same time, there's just so much that happens in a president's schedule. There's stories to follow in what happens. And so I never really got bored because there was always something unexpected. And even when you expected something to happen, I always tried to follow.
It looks like the line just dropped you, but you're back now. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Okay, sorry about that. I never really got bored because there was always something to look forward to down the road on schedule. There are always lots of presidential travel, international trips, huge events like state visits where you would have, head of state's visit, including, the Queen of England. And so there was always something to look forward to, and it never really got bored.
All right. Let's take a call from Hugh in San Francisco, California. Let's see. Hi, Hugh. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Thanks. I had a question about copyright and these photos that are done by official photographers. I figure that since they are created by a public employee, that they should be in the public domain. And I wonder, like, what sorts of issues have, if that's the case, then what sorts of issues have come up around that?
Robert McNeely, can you answer that question?
Yeah, you're exactly right, Hugh. They are in the public domain. There is some restrictions based around the Presidential Papers Act. And any picture that is released out of the White House automatically goes right into the public domain. All of those pictures on the Flickr feed at this time from Pete Souza, those are all pictures in the public domain. Our process for that wasn't Flickr. We just, there wasn't that kind of a, there wasn't the internet, there weren't all these digital processes, but we did release individual photos to the media. Any picture that we handed out became part of the public domain. And so these pictures, you know, they can be used by anyone. Now, over time, you can make freedom of information requests for pictures to the Clinton Library for other pictures. And they those will be handled under the Freedom of Information Act. But basically, these pictures over time, all of them become accessible to scholars and pretty much to everyone at the library, because they go into the presidential library.
Thanks for the call, Hugh. And Robert, in a given day on film, I imagine you were taking dozens of pictures. And today, with digital photography, there are probably hundreds of photos of the president that White House photographers shoot every day. What happens to all those? Who decides what gets released? Where do they all go?
Well, our process, obviously, with film, I mean, on a day that was, say, a trip somewhere that was very involved, or an event, state arrival at the White House, as Eric was talking about, there could be 40, 50, 60 rolls of film combined, both black and white and color. Of course, now with digital, you just measure it in number of images, and there are thousands. I mean, in all forms of photography now, whatever anybody's shooting, digital has just expanded the number of frames people make.
And so is there a White House editor who then says, here's today's photograph?
Well, all of that material is put into the archive. I am not quite sure of the process, how often Pete actually looks at his personal take digitally, because of the sheer volume.
Yeah.
There are editors.
But there's someone choosing.
There are editors that go through and pick things.
Fascinating conversations. Robert McNeely, former White House photographer for President Bill Clinton and author of The Clinton Years, the photographs of Robert McNeely, as well as Barack Obama, the official inaugural book, joining me here in Studio 3A. Thanks for being with us, Robert.
My pleasure.
And we also spoke with Eric Draper, former White House photographer for President George W. Bush. George W. Bush, author of the forthcoming book, Front Row Seat, A Photographic Portrait of the Presidency of George W. Bush. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News, and I'm Ari Shapiro in Washington.